Well, good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to A Progressive Life. I know, I just heard a lot of radios click off after our discussion that we had in the previous 2 hours. And I must admit to you, I'm sorry, I didn't talk very much. I'm one of those people that believes if I'm arguing with somebody that I think is completely wrong, it's better for me to keep my mouth shut because, I don't like to make people angry just because I think they're wrong, because I could be wrong. And but the thing that really annoyed me with several of the callers was I have heard those talking points. I listened to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different, six different stations for my news. And I didn't used to do this until I got into politics about 4 years ago. I used to watch one news station and only probably in the early after evening, you know, like 6 o'clock or something like that. And that's all I did. But now I watch and try to take in all manner of discussion on both sides. And I just heard so many talking points this morning that I would have disputed, but I'm not sure I wasn't listening to talking points. So I keep my mouth shut unless I'm, you know, the old expression, if you want to prove how ignorant you are, open your mouth. If you want to prove how smart you are, keep your mouth shut. And I tried to keep my mouth shut. And so I hope I didn't offend people by not standing up for the rights of the left wing. Or I hope I didn't make people angry for not fighting back against those voices that were obviously the right side. And I think there are good points on both sides. And I hate to say that because kind of sounds wishy-washy, and it is kind of wishy-washy. That's hard to say. Life is wishy-washy, but I truly believe, and I've said this a dozen times on this show, you have to use your brain and you have to listen and try to find facts. Try to learn the facts as opposed to listening to one station that gives you all the side of the story that you want to hear. I admit I listen more to MSNBC than I listen to Fox. I only listen to Fox at certain times when I think the people are on are going to be honest. There are so many shows on both sides of that where I am totally disappointed recently with MSNBC, and it almost sounds like it sounds like the exact opposite of what I consider Fox News. MSNBC never says anything bad about a left-leaning candidate. Now, I would say they tend to say a little bit more bad about the left-leaning candidates than, Fox and Friends says about the right-leaning candidates. But I know that for a fact because my wife yells at the TV when MSNBC is saying something that she disagrees with. Anyway, we had a great discussion today. I did not participate very much. I try to keep my mouth shut so I don't prove my ignorance, right? I think there were people that were proving ignorance today, and that's not wrong. That, you know, that's just what you've heard, and we all of us pass on what we've heard. We are all brought up by our parents, and I know that I've told lies to my friends because my parents told me those lies. Now, not that my parents intended to tell me a lie, but my father, who was marched in the Selma to Montgomery march, and he was very active in civil rights. He used to call Japanese people Japs, and that's really not acceptable. a matter of fact, I'm not sure I'm allowed to say that on the air, but I did. I'm sorry. Well, we had a guy say a bad word on the air this morning, so it's okay. They'll cut me out if I said a bad word. What I'm trying to do, and I've done this for the last 3 or 4 weeks, is I'm trying to read speeches of different people throughout our history. Now, Scott was criticizing me. Well, I'm not sure you'd call it criticizing, but questioning me. How would I know that Obama was better than Lincoln or Washington? Well, first of all I can compare is what I know, and I only know from Truman on up. And I really don't know Truman or Eisenhower that well because I was pretty young. I did like what I've read about Eisenhower. Truman, I'm still in the closet about that. I'm not quite sure where he came from. But I think that Obama is the best president we've had since I was born. And I know there are people that I think I heard a radio just turn off. doesn't mean I'm right. It just means that's the way I feel. All right. I'm not telling you, you have to feel that way. Please don't feel that way. Feel the way your brain tells you to feel, but make sure you know the facts, not what some slick PR person has told you are the facts. Now, if you listen to the lady who's the spokesperson for the news for the current White House lady, please don't pay any attention to her. She's just telling you what all the people tell her she should say. Listen to the facts. Pay attention to what's truly going on. And don't try to find fault with Obama. He's gone. Don't try to find, just like my left-leaning friends, don't try to find fault with, why can't I remember all of our presidents? Well, don't try and find fault with Reagan. He's gone as well. I think we need to move forward. That's why this show is called A Progressive Life. We need to move forward and be progressive rather than look back and say how wonderful life used to be. Believe me, life didn't used to be wonderful. We had people that lived in our basement for a week or two because they had no money, the kids had no clothes on their body, and their car quit working. We had African-American people that would come to our house so that they could play basketball because they were afraid that somebody, some cop was going to come and tell them they couldn't play basketball where they were playing, which was the changing neighborhood. So life wasn't beautiful. life has gotten better. We all have more money. Not all of us, but most of us have more money than we had. If you correct for, I guess, inflation, we probably have about the same that we've had over the last 40 years. But we're not getting worse. We might be getting worse now. And I'm not going to blame Trump for the virus that we have. The virus came out of what? Hunan, China. And contrary to what Trump calls it, it was not called the China virus. That's just a kind of a term he uses to cast dispersions upon our Asian friends from China. I think that's just ugly. But anyway, I'm not quite sure where I was going. But what I've been trying to do over the last 4 weeks is read some speeches to you by people that you wouldn't know. Last week was Sojourner Truth was her name. Sojourner Truth. That wasn't really her name. Her name was, I can't remember her real name. But anyway, she was a slave that had won her freedom by running away, she was quite a speaker for human rights, both for women's rights as well as for African American rights. And I had never heard of her. My wife had heard of her, but not heard her speech. And the speech that I read last week was quite illuminating. I, like I told Scott during the first 2 hours, we look at things, and I'm going to say we, but I mean people in Marion, look at things through the lens that we're given to look at things. There's nothing wrong with looking through the Marion lens. But the Marion lens has very few African Americans. We're around 5%. The national average, I think, is closer to 12%. We have hardly any Asian Americans, if any. We have less than 1% Hispanic or, Hispanic people in Marion. I'm trying to think. The gay people in Marion are still in the closet because they're afraid to come out for fear people will call them bad things and maybe even beat them up. I don't know. We are a very Republican state right now. That is the filter that we look at other people around us in. I was very lucky, and Scott was very lucky. Scott was lucky in that he was able to, he's been in the news business for a long time. He's been able to protect himself from having to admit his feelings. I think I know pretty much where he stands. I'll never confront him with it because it's his choice. But he tries to be as fair as possible. But he also has had lots of different people talk to. He's talked to people that are way out on the left side and way out on the right side and many in the middle. And he's had the opportunity to speak to some of the funniest people in the world. I just love listening to some of his shows that he does with Shecky Green. He does some good shows that way. Anyway, but I've been trying to read these speeches. And today, have you ever heard a speech by a Native American? You know, what we used to call Indians. We don't call them Indians anymore. We call them Native Americans. And I'm not a big fan of political correctness either. But I'm also a big fan of not offending people. And if I offend you by calling you an Indian, I will stop calling you an Indian. We have a lot of people now in our on the Democratic side, who are Indian in our service. Not very many on the Republican side, if any. Nationally, I'm talking about. There are some terrific people from all over this wonderful, wonderful, huge, big world. And I know that people call them S-hole nations. But be careful what you say, because stones are going to feel really hard on your head when they come back. And why do you think people hate us in the world? They hate us because, remember the book, The Ugly American? We are still ugly Americans. We are going to get our comeuppance if we keep treating others throughout the world like they're second-class citizens and we're the only people that know anything. That's also true with me spouting off when I have people calling in on the air that I disagree with. That's why this morning you heard a lot of quiet air from me. I just would rather not respond to people that are convinced that their talking points are correct. And I'm convinced that they're wrong because it does no good. All right. Okay. Anyway, little preface here is about a speech that was given in 1832 by an Indian chief called Black Hawk. I'm going to read this narrative before I read his speech. North American had never been an empty land, and at a time of European settlement was settled by Native American tribes with well-shaped and well-functioning societies. The European settlers and the cultural values they brought with them clashed with those of the native inhabitants almost from the minute the English landed at the mouth of the Chesapeake. Prior to the Revolution, the whites had gradually pushed those they called Indians westward. Moreover, the goals and desires of Europeans, such as colonization, land exploitation, and religious conversions, conflicted sharply with the native culture. According to some scholars, both Native American tribes and English settlers were in the process of nation-building process that unfortunately collided. You never think about it. There were, I think it was the Sioux, were nation builders. They were kind of trying to take over other Indian or Native American nations, and were in the process of their own nation building, whereas the Europeans were in nation building worldwide. All right. After the establishment of the United States, both state and national leaders recognized that the country had to adopt a national policy towards Native Americans. Excuse me, I have hiccups. Where did those come from? Unfortunately, the policy adopted in the 1820s to solve the quote-unquote Indian problem was their removal and settlement in the Great American Desert. Now, that's the Great American Desert, a place that we all want to move to. In the 1830s, Congress passed the Indian Removal Act and appropriated $500,000 for the purpose. Now, $500,000 back then wasn't chump change. It was big money. Under the presidency of Andrew Jackson, some 94 removal treaties were negotiated, and by 1840, most of the Indians in the more settled states and territories had in fact been sent west. Now, those states include Ohio. They include Indiana. They include Florida. They include Georgia. And, of course, the 13 original colonies. Those people were legislated out of their own house. Now, how would you feel about that? Well, it says few tribes went willingly, and from April to August of 1832, an armed band of Salk and Fox under Chief Blackhawk, that's the gentleman I'm going to read this speech from, sought to reoccupy the lands that they had held in Illinois and Western and West Territory. The natives faced famine and hostile Sioux to the west and wanted nothing more than a place with decent land in which to plant their corn. The Illinois militia chased them into Wisconsin and massacred women and children as a tribe attempt to escape across the Mississippi River. Finally, Black Hawk had no choice but to surrender. And in his speech, he detailed the history of the lies and the betrayal of the white men that they had perpetuated on Native Americans. After Black Hawk's defeat, and his son, Whirling Thunder, I love that name, were captured and sent by Andrew Jackson on a tour to be displayed as trophies of war. Well, this speech that I'm going to read you is one of the speeches that he gave. Now, I know that most people understand that the Native Americans were not... we're not going peacefully. And we have had enough cowboy and Indian movies to be frightened. You know what used to frighten me to death is I didn't mind the Indians with their tomahawks. What I hated is when they showed that picture of it was always a cavalry man. And he was standing up, and that arrow would go into his back. Oh, that used to scare the daylights out of me. Anyway. Let me read Black Hawk's surrender speech. This is when he agreed to surrender after he was captured. Black Hawk is an Indian. He has done nothing for which Indian ought to be ashamed. He has fought for his countrymen, the squaws and the papooses, against white men who came year after year to cheat them and take away their lands. You know the cause of our making of war. It is known to all white men. They ought to be ashamed of it. The white men despise the Indians and drive them from their homes. But the Indians are not deceitful. The white men speak bad of the Indian and look at him spitefully. But the Indian does not tell lies. Indians do not steal. An Indian who is as bad as a white man could not live in our nation. He would be put to death and eaten up by the wolves. The white men are bad schoolmasters. They carry false looks and deals in false actions. They smile in the face of the poor Indian to cheat him. They shake him by the hand to gain their confidence, to make them drunk, to deceive them and ruin our wives. We told them to let us alone and keep away from us, but they followed on and beset our paths, and they coiled themselves among us like the snake. They poisoned us by their touch. We were not safe. We lived in danger. We were becoming like them, hypocrites and liars, adulterers, lazy drones, all talkers and no workers. We look up to the Great Spirit. We went to our great father. We were encouraged. His great counsel gave us fair words and big promises, but we got no satisfaction. Things were growing worse. There were no deer in the forest. The opossum and beaver had fled, and the springs were drying up, and our squaws and papooses without victuals to keep them from starving. We called a great council and built a large fire. The spirit of our fathers arose and spoke to us to avenge our wrongs or die. We all spoke before the council fire. It was warm and pleasant. We set up the war whoop and dug up the tomahawk. Our knives were ready, and the heart of Black Hawk swelled high in his bosom when he led his warriors to battle. He is satisfied. He will go to the world of spirits contented. He has done his duty. His father will meet him there and commend him. That's a speech that was made by Indian Chief Black Hawk, and it was made in 1903, I believe. I believe that's when it was made, and or at least that's when it was quoted. It makes you, it kind of tugs at your heart to hear. What would you put yourself in the place of the Native American as a bunch of people that don't speak your language, don't have any right to the land, and don't care about you and your family as they push you out and keep pushing and keep pushing? And they push you to, what do they call it, the Western Desert. Now, who wants to be pushed into a desert? Now, they've done okay, some of them. Have you been out west and seen the native lands? They are in terrible shape. They have no money. Many of them don't have running water. And we call ourselves Christians. I suppose the justification of that is they aren't Christians, or they weren't Christians, so we can do to them whatever we want to. I would like you to read the New Testament and find out where it says you can do that. I've read the New Testament more than once because of my father being a minister and because of other reasons. And I don't remember anywhere saying just because somebody disagrees with you, you can put them to death or shove them off their land or kill their children. Or, I don't remember that one. As a matter of fact, if you read the New Testament, you'll find many of the parables, which, by the way, were written way after Jesus had passed away, most of them between the 80s and the 200 period. Most of the parables show a much kinder Christian. And we tend to cherry pick our Christian attitudes. If we don't like a gay man, we go to, what's the name of that book? I can't remember. There's a book that if you stretch the words, you can find a reason why gayness is badness. There are also words like, if you combine two different cloths, you should be stoned to death. In other words, if you put on a cotton shirt and you're wearing polyester pants, you should be stoned to death. That's in the Bible. Leviticus is the area that I'm talking about. And Leviticus is one of those areas that says that they used to justify hating gay people. But at the same time, it says you should stone somebody to death that wears cotton with polyester. Now, I agree that it's not a good fashion choice, but I'm not sure I want to go stone somebody because of that. All right. Now, I also have here's his name. This one's gonna kill me because it's he was a chief of the Lenape Indian, and his name was Buchengalhilas. Buchengalhilas. He actually spoke for two Christian Native Americans at Gnadenhutten here in Ohio. And this was right at the turn of the century between the 1700s and the 1800s. And this speech is what he said. "Friends, listen to what I have to say to you. You see a great and powerful nation divided. You see the father fighting against the son against the father. The father has called on his Indian children to assist him in punishing his children, the Americans, who have become refractory. I took time to consider what I should do, whether or not I should receive the hatchet of the father to assist him. At first, I looked upon it as a family quarrel in which I was not interested. At length, it appeared to me that the father was right, that his children deserved to be punished a little. That this must be the case, I concluded, from the many cruel facts his offspring have committed from time to time against his Indian children, by encroaching on their land, stealing their property, shooting at and even murdering without cause men, women, and children. Yes, even murdering those who at a time had been friendly to them. Look back at the murders committed by the Long Knives on many of our relations who lived peaceably as a neighbor to them on Ohio. Did not they kill them without the least provocation? Are they now, do you think, better men than they were?" Interesting. And that was a speech by Buchengalhilas. Buchengalhilas, who is a Lenape chieftain. Tomorrow, I'm going to read to you a speech by Andrew Jackson, who was one of the presidents that he really must have hated Indians. And you can sort of understand, if you're shoving people out of their land and they take offense to that, so they come back and, let's say, they shoot an arrow into to one of your people, you're going to be mad that they killed your friend. But did they not have a right? So anyway, Andrew Jackson, he was the one, the president, that developed the Trail of Tears, where thousands of Indians were forced to march to new lands, and the new lands were absolutely a waste of space. I mean, they were the desert. And I'll read that speech. It doesn't give a lot of enlightenment, but it kind of shows that the Americans, especially the Andrew Jackson type Americans, really thought they were better than the Native Americans. And I really have a hard time finding out why anybody thinks they're better than anybody else. Most of us, as was evident today in our early session, most of us don't know what we're talking about. That includes me. And I think what we have to learn to do is really study what we're talking about, or keep our mouths shut. A lot of people don't pay any attention to the facts. They just pay attention to the side they want to be on. And that, again, I will say that includes me. I am more interested in listening to MSNBC than I am to Fox News. I listen to both because I'm trying to train myself or teach myself what all sides of the coin are saying. And I have not been real good at I listen much more to the left side than the right side, but I do listen to the right side. And there are people on Fox News that I appreciate listening to, and I won't get into personalities, but there are several people that I find enlightening, and I do listen to them. The thing that just annoys the heck out of me is, why do they have to have two old white men sitting with a pretty young white woman with her legs crossed provocatively on their morning show? I'll tell you why, because they're looking to get those dirty old white men to watch their morning show. I'm a dirty old white man. I like a good turn of an ankle as well as any guy. I find that deceitful, and I find it wrong that we count on that. Scott and I were talking, I think probably off the air, about things that happened when I was in intercollegiate athletics and how I knew that there were, I probably in my 18 years of intercollegiate athletics probably dealt with, well, several hundreds, if not a few thousand, female students that helped me in my office and that were our athletes. And I knew that there were some that were, I'm going to say, impressed with my position, and I might have been able to take advantage of that. I am happy to admit that I did not take advantage of any of that. There were some young ladies that I really, my heart went out to them, and I was very glad to be around them. There were also some young men that my heart went out to them. And I have several that continued to Facebook me, 35 years later, because we found that we cared about the athletes that we were all working to help. I'm very happy that I didn't take advantage of any of those young women, or young men for that matter. All right, it's 12:46. You're listening to Glenn Coble. If you'd like to call in and call me a horse's patoot, you're more than welcome to. If you'd like to call in and tell me how brilliant I am, I'm willing to listen. We did have some quite interesting news yesterday in that Kamala Harris will be running with Joe Biden as the vice presidential candidate on the Democratic ticket, and I think their convention starts this coming week, so it'll be interesting. Scott and I, off the air, both agreed that we probably won't watch it from morning till night. We will tune in to the certain people that we want to hear, because it does get a little, even when it's all on site and they have the balloons falling and everything like that, it gets boring. Let's face it. There are people that shouldn't be given the microphone because they just can't speak. There are also people that are just phenomenal speakers, and I that's on both sides of the ticket. There are some fantastic speeches that are given at those conventions. The best speechwriters in the world are on their game for both sides there. I'm going to listen to some of it. I don't want to listen too long to too much of it, for fear I will get caught up in the talking points or I will get angry at the other talking points. But I think we should all at least try to know what we're talking about when we go into the voting booth. Now, one of the things that's absolutely driving me crazy is the apparent, and I'll say apparent, let's hope it's not true. Let's hope that this current administration isn't as corrupt as I believe they are. But let's hope that they are not trying to take the vote away from all of our American people. I know they will give excuses that there is voting fraud, which there is very little, if any, proof to. I know they will say that, 3,000 Mexicans will be voting, and they'll give all sorts of things like that. But most of that stuff has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to be incorrect. And whether you agree with me or not, quite frankly, I don't care. I think it's pretty obvious that since our troops vote by mail, since our president votes by mail, and most of the people in his offices vote by mail, and he's agreeing to let Florida vote by mail, does that not seem odd to you? Anyway, voting by mail is a good way to vote, it seems. if we destroy our postal service, like it apparently the nature of appointing a gentleman who wants to go to our current president's bidding. If we're trying to do away with the postal service, come on now. There are people that are saying, oh, it costs too much. Well, okay, it may cost more money than you would like it to cost, but our postal service is in our Constitution. Our postal service was not ever intended to make money. We knew it was going to cost money when we set it up, but the cost of that was to make sure that you could talk to your grandson. You could send him a birthday card with a $5 bill in it, or your granddaughter with a $10 bill in it, because she's a lot nicer than your grandson. No, that I'm not saying that to my family. Anyway, I hope that all of us will stop and truly think about what might be true, what might be false. Make your own decision. I'm not going to try to tell you one way or the other. You know my leanings, so I guess I am kind of telling you one way or the other. But you don't have to agree with me. And a lot of people this morning did not agree with me, or I did not agree with them. I tried to keep my mouth shut. I hope that you will use what you have above your shoulders to find out the truth. And not listen to either Fox talking points, MSNBC talking points. I don't know why people don't like CNN. I guess because they tend to be more honest. People don't like to hear all the honesty, but listen to the honesty. You can decide whether it's honest or not, but listen, all right? One of the things I was going to do also, and probably next week, I probably won't do that tomorrow, but I have pulled the speech that is given by Chaplin, you know, Charlie Chaplin, the guy with the little mustache, looked a little bit like Hitler. I've pulled the speech from one of his top grossing movie, which was called The Dictator. And The Dictator is a story that takes place. It's kind of it was done in 1940, and it's kind of a way of casting light upon the Nazi regime of Hitler. And it's quite interesting in all the connections that we all can find between current history and past history. And this movie, if you Google it, go to YouTube and pull up The Dictator. And I'm going to read the final speech of The Dictator. A lot of people, movie critics, thought it was probably the worst part of this movie because it was kind of out of context that it was done. But I'll tell you what, if you don't see the United States of America today in this speech that is given by this person in the movie who is supposed to be the dictator, but they've found that he is not the dictator. If you don't see America in his speech, you're not listening. It's a great speech. It's done much better by Charlie Chaplin, but I cannot, it's against the law for me to play it live on the air. You have to pay somebody, and so I'm going to read it to you. I will try to read it with my best oral and terp chops in place. My major in college was speech and drama, so I did take oral and terp, so I'm not bad. I'm not a good reader, but I'm not bad at doing oral and terp if I've read it several times. And I have read this speech several times and watched it several times, watched Charlie Chaplin do it. It has made me cry more than once. But then I did a lot of crying this weekend. Seeing Kamala Harris be nominated, I predicted... when I lost my run for state rep, in 2018, right after that happened, I was bummed because to this day, I still think I would have been a far better representative of our district. But our district is very Republican. I was bummed, so I thought, well, I'm going to get on the bandwagon with the two best people I can imagine for the Democratic nomination. And that included I thought we needed African-American involvement. I thought we needed female involvement. I thought we needed old white guy involvement. I thought we needed people that were kind and clear thinking and not hateful. And so on November 22nd, 2 weeks after I lost that election, I put on Twitter, and you can look it up if you don't believe me, and I had actually decided this is the pair that I wanted running on the Democratic top ticket. I had decided it right before I had lost the election. But I put on November 22nd, 2018, that I thought we should have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And neither one of them at the time were shoo-ins. As a matter of fact, Kamala Harris was kind of off in the weeds, and Biden kind of went through a while where he was front-getter and then kind of lost it. I really can't remember who took over the front lead for a while, but then Biden came back to North Carolina and won the North Carolina primary by hand over fist, and that propelled him back into the top spot. Anyway, that's who Democrats are going to be able to vote for, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, and the Republicans will be able to vote for Donald Trump and Mr. Pence from Indiana, and being a fellow Hoosier. Well, you know, there's only been one other vice president from Indiana, and that was Colfax. So, you know, Trump is the second vice president. Now, there have been no presidents selected from Indiana. Anyway, I appreciate you listening. I'm sure there are people that turn their radios off after hearing me come on. But that's kind of why I titled this show A Progressive Voice. I want you to know where I'm coming from. Scott tries to be a true newsman with no leaning, and I try to be an advocate of the left side. We have people on this radio station that are advocates of the right side, and I encourage you to listen to them. They will give you their insights and the way they believe. I believe most of them will be honest with you. I hope they will be. And honesty is what you perceive, not what you know. And that's what I'm trying to get to, is to know what the honesty is. Anyway, we're all, as they say, we're all in this together, right? If the world decides to explode in one big fiery ball, we'll all be gone together. If we decide to kill ourselves with the COVID virus, we'll be in trouble together, and we are that right now. Anyway, I hope you will tune in tomorrow. We'll be on the air in the morning, and I will probably do that Andrew Jackson speech in the morning. You can listen to what his thoughts were at the time that we had the dreaded Native American, or is what we called the Indians, coming after us. Anyway, we've got about 15 seconds. I appreciate you listening to WWGH here at 107.1. We have lots of listeners. I forgot to give our phone number, so you weren't able to call in. But have a great day, and relax.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention, with conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Quicken Loans Arena, and we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952.